May 6, 2020, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this first hour, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Waqiuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. And from 8 to 9, our beloved sister Michelle Muhammad will be discussing cooklovelivehealthy.com. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradio.archives and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So we will open with a short dua and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihu kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. The Quran, Surah 103, Ayat 1 to 3, time through the ages, John 1, 9 to 13 to 22, and 27, 2 to 4, Jewel testing. So haq is reality. It is much stronger than truth. First, faith and patience. You have to have faith. And at least righteous or good deeds. But actually, the word is righteous. In Arabic, it is solihah. And malu means works, and solihah means righteous. But then times get difficult. Things try you, watawasu bilhaq. And they give mutual support for truth, not just by yourself. What the wasl means, you are working in association with others to promote truth. And the word for truth is sadiq. And another one, in common spoken language of Arabic, haq is not really truth, it is reality. It is much stronger than truth because truth may be in your opinion or maybe as you view the situation, the truth, but haq means universal truth supports it. Reality supports. Then patience, in Quranic Arabic, it is pronounced watawasal bin sabir. Don't try to take the burden on by yourself. Again, it is watawasal, work with other people and associate them with other people. If you look at the four, except those who have faith and righteous deeds, so far it is addressing the individual, though the individual is identified with the believer. It is really addressing this something is happening, something that is not satisfied with itself. And that's creation. It is never satisfied with itself. Why? Because it is never complete. It is incomplete. It can only be complete when it reaches or arrives at God. A child separated from his mother or his father, if it has any knowledge of father or mother in the child's life, it will move out to find father and mother. Is that right? So earth is our natural food. So if we have our same, our good senses, we move out to find earth to put in this body, to feed this earthly body. So that will be sustained. So everything moves out after that, that it needs to replenish itself. Creation separates, breaks up to find God. So something is happening. Creation is moving out. It's reaching for something to complete itself. to satisfy itself, to bring agreement within itself. So it does this by separating itself, the child that is born. In the home of it grows, it has to separate from the house one day. So it is with every life. So it is with everything. It's moving and it's separating. It's breaking away from those things it once was with, because it's looking for something that'll satisfy itself. None of the things that it is in of its own nature, own order, will satisfy it. It has to find that. That is independent of the womb. So life is constantly breaking away. It's not satisfied with itself. It says to get what I want. If it means tearing myself down, I'll do so. Life will break itself up and start from scratch again to get the opportunity to drive at where it wants to go. It wants to get there, and it will get there. Almighty God, in his great wisdom, designed this path for his creation to travel. If you travel this path, you have to give up your pride. You have to give up your selfishness. You have to become humble. You have to give up your narrowness and become brotherly and sisterly. You have to give up your desire to be master of a little kingdom and come into a big kingdom and share with everybody else. So that is what Almighty God forces us to do. He breaks you up, brothers and sisters, and make you start all over from scratch. Now, if he allows anybody to arrive there without breaking, then we will arrive there as boasters. Say, yeah, I've got there by my own, so I am all together. No, but when you got there, brother, you got a history breaking up behind you. The Quran, Surah 105, Ayat 1, the companions of the elephant. Deuteronomy 32:15, wax fat. But Jeshurun, wax fat, and kicked. Thou art wax fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsake God, which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. So the human flesh must take on new attributes, new descriptions. The human flesh can be flesh in the sense of greed and hunger for more flesh. For the flesh creatures are hanging from more flesh, for more flesh. So he might eat grass like an elephant, the biggest mass of flesh walking the land. He doesn't play on flesh. He doesn't prey on flesh. He eats grass, is that right? But still he moves by flesh. That elephant is moved by the heat of flesh. And he is satisfied just to have this whole earth reduced to nothing but the mixing and the rumbling and the coming together of flesh. As long as he can lay with flesh and make some more flesh on the earth, that big old elephant that doesn't eat flesh is satisfied. So we have a world that is ruled over by so-called Christians that is all holy when it comes to not shedding blood. They are not prayers or the kind that goes out and tear flesh and drink blood. They speak of peace and love, but they will amass of a big body of wealth, big, like the elephant, and never manifest any human love and charity. They keep all to themselves. Is that right? It has to be riots, demonstrations, and all kinds of forces from the people to pressure Christian society and to respond to the need to be a little charitable. So we have an elephant society. This is an elephant elephant society. A society that never eats blood, you know, at least not out in the open. They profess to be grazers on the grass, appearing to the sheep. But they become big, solid masses, huge, and leave the other part of the family lean and starved out. So the book says a certain people wax fat. And because they wax fat, God saw it fit to destroy them. So we know overweight is terrible for the individual as he continues to eat and just stuff himself. After a while, he gets out of order. People look at him and say, man, you used to look handsome. Get ugly to the society. If we see that in our physical form, we can gorge ourselves and stuff ourselves too much and become unattractive and ugly in the physical form. Then we should see that as a sign of divine, that we can gorge ourselves under influence of greed. We can become so selfish, snatching everything for ourselves and not giving any of it out, as we become fat and ugly in spirit. That an unruly or ugly moral nature, fat and ugly in human form. And the world looks at us and says, good God, I can't stand so-and-so. So the Quran, Surah 105, Ayat 1-3, the companions of the elephant. Allah protected Kaaba. Purity and spirit of idols as he protect the nation of Islam. It speaks of the companions of or order of the elephant. What does this represent? It represents imperialistic power, the great empires. Abraha, who formed Africa, went to the holy house at Mecca. It had become a pagan house. It had been ruined after Abraham. It had become a pagan house. He was leading an army of well-armed men coming against the house. That was at that time heathen pagans. When he came, God defended that house. If I would tell some of you crazy persons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the honorable Elijah Muhammad and the nation of Islam. And someone might say, what is the Imam talking about? Is he trying to dignify the nation of Islam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave victory to a little Hashim, an old man, with no army or anything. He didn't have the Quran. Or he knew that his house is God's house. He didn't say this house is God's house, and I believe God now is going to punish us for having all of these idols there. He knew nothing of Islam. The man thought he was right. He said, this is God's house with all of its false idols, shameful rituals. I can't defend it. God will defend his own house. And didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, that he caused small birds to come with small sharp pebbles and drop them on the head of animals, elephants, and turn them into screwed up stubble? God rescued that place because something was there that he had an interest in. He had a purpose for it being established, even though paganism was reigning supreme. God protected it. Alif refined social sentiments. The Quran, Surah 106, Ayat 1. Let's look at the word again. La ilaifi korasi. Ilaifi. Ilaifi comes from the word alafat. And alafat means to show the refined social sentiment. Alafa, one who is self, one who is Alif, he shows the final social sentiments. He's warm. He's considerate. He understands the social need. He's a good fellow, socially speaking. A sociable person, a good person in the social context of life. So that's Eliphaz. And we find that this is the very first letter of the Arabic alphabet, Alif. Alif is the first letter of the Arabic alphabet. So Alif Menfus is Kabaj. Now, there are other words we connect with. This word, you see, these other words will help us to understand the meaning. Kabaj is called Malfus. Malfus or Kabaj. And Malfus is called that. Why? Because it hugs. Every new member hugs the other. And that is how they grow. That is how they grow cabbage. They grow by hugging each other. Every time a new leaf member comes on the stalk, it hugs other members. And it just keep on hugging other members before it becomes that solid white head of cabbage. So fear is cold, hunger is hot. Allah protects summer and winter. Now the human being, because of its social nature, it senses threats to other persons that he is socially tied to, just as though those threats are directed at him. That's because of the social conscience, the social fabric, the social continuing of the life, the continued life. Because of that continued life, there is a cautious sense that is whole and continuous that includes all of those members and the concern. And when threat comes to them, we sometimes respond differently than if the threat came directly to us. And this mortal fear is what we mean mostly by kufira or fear. Hunger arises to protect the mortal. Now, when we get hungry, what is it? It is the body itself, isn't it? It's the material body itself reacting to the need to keep itself, to keep its life. So the body pains here. It wants some food. It needs to keep its life. It wants to hold its life. Hunger and fear are both mortal based. They are based in the mortal being, and they are urged that arises for the protection of the mortal being. Hunger is sustained, it sustains us materially or biologically, and fear protects the biological body. Fear cools, slows down like winter. Then look at winter and summer. You know, fear is a cooler. When fear really gets you, it slows you down. It stops you. Fear can stop you almost completely. It can make your heart slow down. Everything slows down. And fear has been associated or compared with coolness. And hunger is heat. So when you get hungry, you get irritable. You are inclined to get hot-headed. Go into rage when you get hungry. But fear is like winter. It cools you. It cools you down. It slows you down. It makes you afraid to act. So these things are in twos. Now the Quraysh are given protection against these things, against winter and summer. And lastly, it says, he feeds you against hunger. And he keeps you safe from fear. So we need security, faith. We need to feel secure from the fear placed upon our being, etc., or any threat to our well-being. And we need food to feed us, to keep us from being given to the fear. So we want those things to eat. So winter, spiritual, summer, social. Winter now is referring to the spiritual side of man's life. Summer is referring to the social side of man's life. Fear, the spiritual side. Summer, the social side. Faya Budu, Rabbi Hadil al-Bait. Faya Budu, Rabbi Hadil al-Bait. So therefore worship the Lord of this house. So if we are correct in saying that the quality here in Chorus, the chapter is addressing, is the social concern, the social sentiments, the social bond. Then it says, God says, then worship the Lord of this house. Then the house must also be a symbol of the social concerns, the social bond. And we find that as a universal symbol, it ties all men together in one social family. The Quran Surah 108, Ayat 1 to 2. We give you fountains. El Hadith, page 2, 584 and 9. Meet me at the fountain. So the prophet, what was his second creation? The creation of a new intellect. Allah created upon the original intellect another intellect. So he created him over him again. He became a new intellect. And he said things that made his people wonder. Is this the same Muhammad? He was a new Muhammad, the same man you know. That's the same man that we know him. That's Muhammad. That's the same man. We know his character. That's him. So where is he getting his mind from? Where ideas are coming from? So Allah created him over and completed the excellent that was already there. The second one, we don't have revelation. The first one, we do have. So we have that potential to be that. So dear Muslims, if we allow, or if we follow, if we come into nature, try to be in our nature and excellent and obedient, as excellent as we can, and we follow the Quran that Muhammad revealed, Muhammad will guide us to the second level of creation. Yes, Muhammad will guide us to the secondary creation. What did he tell his followers? Meet me at the place. Meet me at the water pool. And when the philosopher, the ulema, many of them, they understood not just when we are dead, but on this earth, that we will grow and prosper as Muslim thinkers and as Muslims that are obeying God in our spirit until we become such fine and excellent creatures that God wants, that God won't withhold anything from us that we can earn. Man's progress yet to be done. So the Quran, Surah 108, give you abundance. So if we can understand that God has created us for great accomplishment far beyond our imagination, most likely we are going a long way. But don't think that that's the end. We can go much further. I'm talking about progressive man. We can go much further. In fact, Allah says there is no end to the progress that comes to his servant that obeys him. No end. Say he has created things that you know and don't know, and you cannot exhaust the resources. That's what Allah says to us. There is no way to use up the resources. So Quran Surah 108. Give you abundance. You look at the word life, you see life. But if you look at the word death, you see eat. In it, and Allah says in the Quran, surely we have given you abundance of good. And Allah says also, the going after abundance, amounting, piling up wealth, will stay on you until you come to the grave. It's something that becomes hypnotic, automatic, almost, in your life and stays on you and causes you to lose moral conscience. And you just keep going after it compulsively without any ability to resist going after the world of material plenty. And where is it carrying you? To the grave, to hell, destruction of your human nature, your good life, your good soul. That's where it's carrying you. But you see what I did? I gave you a reference of abundance in a good sense. God wants you to have abundance. And at the same time, God wants you going after it will bring you to the grave, the death of your humanity. The Quran, Surah 108, Ayat 1. Kafir, fountain. John 10:10, life have it more abundantly. So those faithful students and scholars of Quran, they accept what God has revealed and they believe that the book is enough for us until the day of judgment. And no matter how long the human being lives on this earth, it will be supplying them with guidance, with the light, the guidance and the way to have the light. The Quran is the word of God and the life on all levels. He's life on all levels. So the Quran, Surah 109, Ayah 6, freedom of religion. We should stand for freedom of religion. If anyone's religion is threatened by someone who wants to deny them the right to have religion, it is the Muslim leaders who should come to the side of that person and say, no, God has ordered freedom of religion. God says, say to the people who seriously differ with you, say to them, to you, your religion, and to me, my religion. Stone devil Iblis. The Quran, Surah 109, Ayat 1. Collection, Chain, Hadith. Page 2, 243 and 852. Speak with Allah, there is not even a veil between you. The Quran says, O ye rejecters of faith, or disbelievers, I do not worship what you worship. And the word worship, you know, comes from the word servant, and before al-Islam, it meant slave. But now in the text of the Quran, it does not mean slave, it means servant. But in the language of the society, it still means slave. Ad is still slave, servant. And slave means both. God wants us to know that we are not to give our life to any master except him. You give service, but don't give your life to any master except God. Nothing but God should determine the limits of your thinking, the limits of your movement, the limits of your work on no one but God. Man would say, I don't call you son because you are mine. I call you son because you shine. So this world is powerful for helping to bring about social justice, equality for people. So that is this Arabic term, Ab. God says that. That's the best. He didn't say it directly, but we know that the learned ones, in the tradition of our prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, they say that there is no name or title for man more dignified, more noble or higher in its meaning or its value than the term Abba God. So God created man without anybody's help. Servant of Allah, God refers to Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, as his Ab. And he says to all of us that we all are his Abs, where he says, Ya Ibadullah, translated, oh my servant. That expression addresses both female and male. It is speaking to all human beings. So if we are his servants, and the root meaning or the history of the word takes us back, meaning slave, then God is saying that no one can have you as a slave. He claims us. And no one else can have us as have a better claim on us as a slave. So in the hadith, Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, says, we should know that nothing separates the servant from his master, not even the veil, not even petitions. And like a veil, so there is nothing separating man from God. The servant can call directly on his God. He needs no mediator, no intercessor, no priest, no monk, no imam, no rabbi. He doesn't need anybody. He calls directly to his God. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? If God created me without you, how can I call him through you? I really like the word Prophet Abraham gave. He told a big ruler, the one who created me shall guide me. And that's a good way to get another view. Look at Abraham to see him a little clearer. So where is the guidance in creation? The guidance for any form of life is in its created body. So science is the guidance for treating all forms of life, from the study of that form of life. So the guidance is in its creation, in its form. That is where the guidance is. That's why just anybody can't be a doctor. You can't guess at the treatment. It is scientific. The guidance is in the created thing. So that is what Abraham was telling this arrogant ruler. You think you know everything, but no. You are ignorant. You are following guesswork. You are nothing but an advanced wealthy witch doctor. Here I'm coming with the truth, and you have false magic. The one who created me shall guide me. And that's the meaning of Kalika Fasawa Kadira Fahada. Kalika Fasawa. Kadira Fahada. In four steps he created, then he balanced everything. That is laws. If things are balanced, it means these things are governed by laws. Kadira. Then he empowered the intellect. That is talking about the intellect, but the same thing happened with creation itself. God has created matter so it comes willingly or unwillingly to the order that God intends for it. So if it is not in agreement, there is a strain in the matter to conform to the law intended for that matter. It might explode and then find its adjustment, or it might by some other activity come to its adjustment. But it is going to come to its adjustment because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it all for peace. So it has to have its peace. So for the intellect straining for the guidance, the intellect strains and strains with issues that the intellect wants to see in some kind of rational order or agreement. The intellect strains and strains. That is what the term Qadira is referring to. And after a while, the light comes on. It happens. And the intellect knows this is the answer. So this is how it's supposed to be settled. Or this is how this is supposed to be stated or composed, etc. And with that is the guidance. So there is the guidance. and the intellect will keep working with it after the light has been turned on in a marvelous way. Intuition, cognition, etc. So the light is on now, and the intellect begins to work on what it saw. Qadira refers to strain of mind that leads to guidance. So lightning, symbolic of people following intuitive, but not revelation. Intuition, pardon me, but not revelation. So the moon, pardon me, so those who won't follow revelation, they follow nothing but the intuitive light. They are those who wait for the thunder and the lightning. And when the lightning flashes, they walk a little bit and it goes off and they are at a standstill. The same God that gave you the intuitive power also gave you revelation. So do not be satisfied with just that. Still seek God, and in time he will give you revelation, reveal knowledge that came to the prophets, as we know. Say to the rejecters of faith, I do not worship what you worship, and you are not worshiping what I worship, and I am not worshiping what you worship, or I am not worshiping what you are set upon worshiping. It is a little stronger here. And you are not worshiping what I worship, so for you, your way, your deen, and for me, my deen. And you notice my deen has not the possessive, because it is not an individual religion. It is a universal religion of mankind. So it is not nice for us to say in this particular discussion with reject that my religion with some kind of special pride or some kind of special sense of possession. No, it is a religion of mankind. So play down your possession of it. Do not put the long vowel double E on it. Just put the little vowel kasra E. Don't say my holding it long, but say my real quickly and keep going. Like some people say my God. That's too long. He's not just your God. He is our God. Ukud means a knot, your firm conviction, resolution. So you accept what he says, and you find yourself breaking the law. You wake up one morning, and you say, good God, I've broken all the law. I didn't know I had slipped into this kind of thinking. The word ukud here is from the Arabic root word ukada, which means a knot. And this is firm conviction, meaning your resolution of firm conviction. And I seek refuge from the harm or the evil of the envier when he envies. So these are prayers. They are chapters, but also prayers. I advise you to pray these prayers. This world is too much for us. We can't manage it, but God helps us. And his help that he gives is a help. All this is universal. Every society has come under influence or have been tempted by the Satan. And every society has had its magic and its witchcraft. So another chapter says, say, I seek refuge with the Lord of humanity, mankind of all people. So you see, every one of these verses are calling on God himself. They are directed to God, and the Quran says to be not of the kafir, the rejecters of faith. Be not of the shirk, the polytheists, declaring the oneness of God. He it is, a must to have protection from the Lord of the Dawn. So we know this is daybreak light. It says, I seek refuge with the Lord of the light. So there is Lord of the light. It is not just light created, but the Lord of the light. The creator, the Lord of the light, or the one who started the light. The one who caused light to be. So he is the one to progress that light. Take that light from beginning to end, stage by stage. It is a progression for the light. Now, if something interrupts that order and brings about darkness or confusion in the progression of light, I should turn to the one who started the light in the first place, because he is also the Lord of the light. Talking about the servant of God. They want peace and want to be close to one another. The victory of the Lamb, it had victory. So this is Christianity. It is the opening of the secrets in Scripture. This closing, opening up of the secrets in Scripture. And the Christian report says he took the book from his hand. The Quran doesn't like that way it is expressed. So it puts it differently. It just alludes to it rather than say that with Al-Fatiha, how many seals were there to be opened? And the Quran, Al-Fatiha, has seven verses. But they are seven verses, Mathina, which means seven verses, repeated. But they are mated. Seven verses repeated by they are mated. So really, they are 14 complete expressions, but in seven verses. They say the seventh of repeating, it is saying Bismillah Rahman Rahim. That is verse 1. It is saying two things, that God is Al-Rahman and Al-Rahim. It is very important in religious understanding, those two expressions of God, taken from the history of the theology of God by these major religions, Christianity and Judaism. They mean little or nothing. It is nothing to say God is kind and loving. Everybody know that. Ignorant people know that. But it is something to identify something that has been hidden and misused in Scripture and address it with these two attributes. This is exactly what is happening. Quran is revelation, showing something that was not seen. The Quran is revelation, not just talk. Revelation means something, showing something that was not seen. So if it was already seen, then why is it revelation? So Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. That is another chapter verse. Complete verse. So to thanks to God, that is one statement. Rabbil Alameen, Lord of the worlds, that is another statement. One day we will take our Fatiha and we will see the respect, how the expression came with each verse for a total of 14 that unlocks not just seven. They are seven seals and seven verses. But each verse has double keys, two keys in the Quran. It says, with God, all the keys to the heavens and the earth. The Quran is a book to be read. That means read. But when you read in the Quran what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying about revelation, about Quran, you know that. You're not only to read the book, it is a book to be studied. It is a book to be recited. It is a book to be understood. All these terms are in Quran that tells us this about the Quran. The greatest fear that the religious leaders have is that the fear that what they kept secret will be told openly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did that when he gave the messenger or the message of Quran to Muhammad, the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, he exposed all their secrets. I can't expose their secrets. They are already exposed. God has already exposed them. I just read what God has done. But if you cannot make the right connection, you will never know that God has exposed the secrets because you do not make the right connections. The leaders have taught the masses of people, the majority of people in religion, all those who are not talking, all those who are not taking into them as secret students, their private little secret students. They have taught them all in a way so you will never make the connection. You will think this is all just talk. You will know that it has reference to something. So you cannot make the connections with the reference, so you cannot learn the Quran. So you cannot see the superiority of the Quran. If you do not know what it is talking about in history of religion, many Christianity and Judaism, then you do not know the superiority of Quran. Lahab, the Quran Surah 111, Surah Lahab. This necklace is a halter of firewood above her neck. It is from the palm tree, but it is not fiber. We understand fiber, you might say. He is questioning the book. Yes, I am. Fiber suggests to me something fine, and fiber of cloth or fruit of a little fine thing. This is not a fine thing. It is a halter about her neck. If you can imagine a soft bunch, made into necklace. That is what the picture is, and that palm tree has small branches that can be made into a rope. She's carrying firewood, so the curse on her that was promised is that she would have this firewood, but it will be like a rope around her neck, like a necklace. On her neck, meaning she's going to be destroyed by her own devices. Don't question the teacher to prove your teacher wrong. Question the teacher to understand. I love my teachers, all of them, because they were teaching me. I thought they deserved my love. If they didn't want to teach me, that would be something different. So Lahab, flame, passion. The Quran, Surah 111, Ayat 1. Perish, father of the flame. So flame in poetry means passion. Abu Halab was the uncle of the prophet, prayer and the peace be upon him, literally translated, means father of the flame. So flame is poetry means passion, and usually passion of anger or of love. So literature has been established, the meaning of fire and flame. So when you speak of a person being full of fire, it means full of anger or full of passion. So when you speak of a person having ice in their blood, what do you mean? Very cold-hearted. So it says, and his woman, Imra, is not wife, it is woman. She doesn't get the respect of wife because she was a very bad woman and he was a very bad man. So they were not really husband and wife. They are not respected as husband and wife. They were just doing their evils together. It was his woman doing evil with him. What is the meaning of hatab, firewood? It is like ropes. If you see basket weaving, they used to be ropes made of wood, fiber, grass roots, I think they called them. It says, Fajida hat in her neck. But neck is not Jidi. Uhud is neck. So this is only neck when you're talking about a woman putting a necklace on. It is talking about an area where the necklace hangs. In this area, where she would have a necklace with a halter of palm fiber, a rope like a necklace. That is the picture you get, like a rope. And for black people, many, a noose. They hung so many of our people for 100 years until I think it went into my genes. I don't like ties. Nothing choking my neck. I don't like it. I used to go to the temple. And as soon as I got away from the brothers, the Muslims, I would take that tie off. I just had to take it off. I would take that off, that tie off. I just had to take something or somebody. It is choking me a little bit. It feels like somebody is choking me a little bit. Hablin means what? It's a rope. Or some translators say halter. And a halter is something you put around your neck, like a necklace. What is a halter? It is a necklace. It used to spell, to sell things. I used to sell things, cosmetics and custom jewelry. Halter is something that is fixed. It is not something that has beads. That is not a halter. If I remember correctly, a halter, or not like the regular necklace that has beads, a halter has its shape and it stays in that shape. It is kind of a stiff, like a horseshoe. It is a necklace. It is different from a regular necklace. The Quran, Surah 112, Ayat 1-4, Allah is eternal. The Quran, Surah 57, Ayat 3, Allah is seen and unseen. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 62, the believers say have no fear nor grief. So unseen forces control dominant life, change physical form. God has always been present in this world, in his creation, in his signs, and in the activity that we experience as graces of Almighty God. So we know in Al-Islam that God is not creation or visible matter or something that is on time, that comes into existence and undergoes change or decay, and has to be reformed. But God is the creator who was never born, never made, but has existed eternally. And God is seen and unseen. That is, he is evident or apparent, obvious, and also hidden from our perception. But does that make us feel that God is less real? Objects that are not detectable by the physical are really the most powerful thing. So the sun is a ball of fire. It is distant from us, but it's invisible. Energy reaches us and grows the food that we eat and gives us the physical strength that we have. And then in our own makeup, there are forces of joy, sadness, intelligence working in our lives. And these forces are the real forces that control and dominate our being. So we know that the unseen forces are stronger in our lives as influences. The man who is young, looking, healthy, youthful, he can get problems into his life, family, job problems. And these problems that are invisible can actually change his physical form. He can begin to look old, weak, gray, his hair. And what is this worry? So it is nothing that we can see with the eye. We can't even take a microscope and find it. but it is something that has no material body. But look what this forces does to our material body. So we have to be, as human beings, believe in the forces other than physical matter. Human beings has this nature. No one had to come and convince human beings that there are forces that you should respect that are non-material. The most primitive, the youngest of civilizations, of societies, have come to that belief without science, without preachers coming to preach to them. It is just a natural thing for human beings to come to believe in powers and forces that are above the physical creation. So this is the nature in us that leads us to the correct belief in God or to correct worship of God. So we begin as babies in everything, in worldly knowledge, and we grow into scientific knowledge. Society begins as babies in spiritual knowledge. And we grow into spiritual knowledge. Science tells us that Almighty God has helped science get where it's today. I remember reading a book written on Einstein where he was giving credit to Almighty God. I also remember reading a book on the life of the one who invented penicillin. And he was telling how he felt God's presence in his experiment and how God made possible his great success. So we know as Muslims that many great scientists came up in Al-Islam, and they were not only who delivered God's workings in their experiments, but they were men who were motivated to become scientists by Al-Islam. So we see evidence of God's workings in science and evidence of God's working in the ordinary human life. And it is evident, is convincing proof to us that Almighty God exists. Salakallahu Dadeen, surely Allah speaks the truth. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC Murad Speaks for allowing us to come before you once again. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m. inshallah. It only means if it please God. Thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. I want to say to all the believers that observing this holy month of Ramadan, that Ramadan Mubarak, may Allah bless you. Have a safe, peaceful, and joyful Ramadan. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And thank you for listening. Stay tuned for our beloved sister, Michelle Muhammad.